The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin in the house as well, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, what's up, guy?
How you doing, man? What are we going to do about this studio where, like, you come inside now all of a sudden from the cold outside and there's, like, a dust storm and, like, you can't blow it out of your nostrils? What are we going to do about that?
I don't know. We need like, an expert, a sinus expert.
Let's get Zora reasons. From the local station here. Oh, she's traffic. I'm sorry.
There
I can't
you go.
Get her.
The barometric pressure? We'll
yeah.
Get that measured.
Yeah, let's get someone with a...
It's been happening to me for 4 years. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll fight through it because we have Jay Kahn back on the show today, NHL. He went 5-0 with his picks last week. Does he have picks this today? Do we know how many he's got?
He'll have picks.
We'll have picks. We just don't know how many. But he went 5-0 last week. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to three-man Weavers, specifically Matty Cox, about college basketball. A bunch of upsets. Well, a few big upsets yesterday. What he's got with the big doubleheader tonight. The nightcap being Kansas and Duke in college hoops. By the way, the college football rankings in between the doubleheader on ESPN tonight. Pete Futak on college football. I will make the outlandish case. I don't find it outlandish, but some do. That even if TCU loses a game, there is a scenario where they still ought to make the college football playoff. Not saying it's going to happen because I know how this stuff's going to work, but that it's absolutely ridiculous that they wouldn't. We'll talk about that, among other things, with Peter. Get his college football plays. Yes, sir? What do you want to say?
No, I was just going to say, I feel like there's a lot of actually crazy scenarios that could still happen in the college football playoff.
This is college football. Parles had the greatest. It is what it is. Like, it's just, it's less sport than it is exhibition of its own rules,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
but he always says, it is what it is, he used to say. And I totally agree with that assessment. But we'll talk to him about that. JBT on the NBA. We have to start, Kelly. We'll do our NFL power rankings. We got to start with that game last night. This is the greatest Washington football team win in I don't know how long. Maybe since the RG3 skins? Like, 32-21, the Commanders, I think that's what they're calling them now, they beat the Eagles, the previously unbeaten Eagles, now knocked from the perch of the unbeaten.
And they earned their nickname to you? Is that what you're saying?
They took command.
They took command.
I can't tell you how many texts I get like that. We took command, Gil. I'm like, oh, great. Listen, this is, by the way, Washington's largest upset wins. We're looking of all time here. Fourth biggest as an 11-point dog. 1995 Cowboys. By the way, I remember that game. I want to say that was a Desmond Howard-led victory.
Well, what did it twice that year?
Yeah, the Washington was so bad then. This was post Joe Gibbs. They had like cratered. They had drafted Desmond Howard in 94. Yeah, so he like scored. I remember him scoring in Dallas. That's how long ago that was. It was just an outrageous win. Do not remember the 1966 one, though. I'll tell you that much,
yeah,
Kelly Bidlin. It's a little before our time. But last night was huge. Let's just get into it because I have so many questions to ask. First of all, this game starts. Questions about both teams. Game starts, you know, Washington started at their own 10 after a penalty on the opening kickoff after a 3-and-out. Philly roughs the punter, Tress Way, so Washington maintains possession. But the next play, Heineke's arm hit by Josh Sweat. Strip sack, ball recovered by Marlon Tuipulotu. Three plays later, 7-0 Eagles on a Hurts sneak. 2:39 into the game, it's already 7-0 Eagles.
Just like that.
You're like,
runaway.
Yeah, here we go. Here comes the blowout. But then Washington goes on a 13-play, 75-yard drive, which took 7 minutes and 21 seconds. Gibson in from one out. They were 3 of 3, Washington was on that drive on third downs. Portent of things to come, and it was 7-7. At that point, I jumped in. Didn't have any pre-flop bets, Kelly, but I'm like, you know what? That was interesting. Let me take Washington plus 11, basically the pre-flop spread. Let me take them plus 7 first half. Okay. Well, Philadelphia then went on a 9-play, 78-yard drive. That took 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Hurst to Goddard for 6 yards. A little jump pass after St. Just was flagged for a 30-yard PI, which really put him on the in first and goal situation. First of all, let me just say this, because we'll get to all the bad calls that went against the Eagles. But really, that was a PI. His head was turned. There was just sort of incidental contact. Yeah. And my comment to everybody was, oh, yeah, if that was Philly on defense and that was a Washington receiver, you think that was getting called? Please.
It just
give
felt,
me a break.
I'm not going to go overall bad or good refereeing, Gil, but it just felt like there was a lot of big calls in that game. A
lot of big calls. And by the way, I mean, I will say this. The ref right on top of that play didn't make the call. Someone did from across the field. All right.
Which always bothers me.
14-7 Eagles. You're still like, well, okay. Washington. Ensuing drive, 4th and 1 at the Philadelphia 21, they matriculated. They intended to go for it, but it would have been a direct snap to Curtis Samuel that would have converted, file that away. But instead they take the delay of game. They settle for a sly 44-yard field goal. It's 14-10. So then 4th play of the ensuing drive, the Eagles 1st and 10 at their own 45, 8:48 left second quarter. Hurts deep downfield, intercepted by Derek Forrest, who basically took it right out of A.J. Brown's hands. And at that point, with Washington down 4, I made 2 more in-game bets, +4.5 in the first half, +10.5 for the game. Washington starts at their own 14 after that pick with 8:43 left in the half. 8th play of the drive, 1st and 10 at the Philadelphia 48 with 5:19 left, one of the key plays of this game. The ball snapped way over Heineke's head. He scoops it up, presence of mind, throws it away beyond the line of scrimmage, out of bounds, out of the pocket. Brilliant play. Brilliant play by Heineke. 6 plays later, 4th and 1 at the 16 of the Eagles, direct snap to Samuel, which they saw would work the previous 4th down when they got the delay call. They convert. That was a 16-play, 86-yard drive for the Skins, for Commanders, pardon me, when all was said and done. 7:04 took off the clock, 17-14 Washington. And you're like, okay, they're dominating this game, and yet they're only up 3.
Oh, that throwaway, Gil, I said this when that happened. Massive. I was like, that's the greatest incompletion you're going to see all year.
Yes, it is.
Like, that was incredible.
Massive play by Heineke. So then Philadelphia has a 33-second drive under the 2-minute warning where they go 3 and out. So Washington gets the ball back with 1:06 left at their own 30. They matriculate. Little 7-play drive, which sets up a Joey Sly 58-yard field goal attempt, which is good, and Washington goes to the half up 20-14. When did Joey Sly become Justin Tucker?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Most lopsided time of possession in a first half versus the Eagles since 2001. Washington ran 51 plays, the most of any team in a first half this year. 29 rushes with Jordan Davis out. Washington was like, we are banging this. To their success. Washington was 9 of 12 on 3rd down in the first half, 1 of 1 on 4th, 235 total yards of offense, and they led in time of possession 23-49 to 6-11, and only led by 6. By the way, the incomparable Terry McLaurin in the first half, 6 for 76. First time the Eagles had trailed in the second half all year. They start the second half, the Eagles do, with a 3-and-out. And at that point, Kelly, I made my final 2 in games. I'm like, I'll take Washington 3rd quarter plus a half a point. I'll take a money line plus 104. I would have made none of these bets before the game. Just sort of a shout out to in-game betting.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, 14 plays over 8 minutes, sly 32-yard field goal. Big Heineke to the incomparable McLaurin, 41-yard pass play, 23-14. But they settled for that field goal. And you still felt, well, if they had a touchdown there, they would have put this away. But a field goal, Philly's still in this. And sure enough, Philly goes on a 12-play, 80-yard drive, took 5:19, Hurts to Smith for 11. It's 23-21. And then Washington, 2nd play of the ensuing drive, terrible unnecessary roughness call on Gardner Johnson, bringing the ball near midfield. But then Gardner Johnson picks Heineke late, 3 plays later, effectively a punt, though. That's Heineke's weakness, right? No arm strength. But effectively, that was a punt. So Philadelphia starts at their own 7. They're only down 2 points with 12:24 left. 6th play of the drive, 1st and 10, their own 1. Or at their own 31, I guess that is. 9:14 left. Hurts to Goddard. Jamin Davis gets away with a brutal face mask on the hit. Goddard fumbles. Man. Davis down by contact. Complete miss by the refs.
Yeah.
Complete miss. And you can't review it, which has got to be changed.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole we can go down. As I'm watching it, I'm trying to think of all that stuff, right, of how do we change this? Should we change it? It feels like something needs to happen, though, because you can't sit there and watch a replay like that and be like, this is a deserved turnover,
brutal.
Right?
Brutal. 3 and out for Washington, but the Eagles decline an illegal man downfield penalty. Do you remember this on 3rd down? They said, nope,
yep.
We won't take it. And so it gave Sly an opportunity for a 55-yarder. I didn't know Washington had signed Justin Tucker. He sunk it again. Joey Sly from 58 and 55. It's 26-21. Philadelphia takes over, though. They're only down 5 after all of that. With 7:33 left, third play, Hurts deep ball to Quez Watkins for 51. Untouched when he dives for it. Gets up Benjamin St. Juiced in pursuit. Jars the ball loose. Frantic pursuit for the ball. Derek Forrest recovers. Washington 3 and out, though, after Jahan Dotson's called for a pick on a would-be third down conversion to Samuel. Troy Aikman vehemently disagreeing with the call. Another one. Then Philadelphia takes over with 3:26 left, down 26-21. All they need is a touchdown, but a 3 and out. Montez Sweat on the sack on third down. They still have all 3 of their timeouts, though, left. Sipos punts it on the run. He was afraid it was going to get blocked. So an ineligible man downfield penalty. That was significant because it brought the repunt, once you had the return, to inside the 2-minute warning. So it was a huge play.
It was massive.
Washington needed only one first down to seal it. The Eagles get the 3 and out, but Heinicke on third down goes to a knee, gives himself up, and Brandon Graham hits him anyway. And I agree with all of the what people said, which is, by the rule, you have to call it the spirit of the game, though. Come on.
Come on. And even in Heinicke's reaction, right, tells you everything you need to know.
He knew it's,
I got you. The reaction was, I got you.
Yep. But if that's Tom Brady, we're like, genius. Tough call for Philly, because Graham was trying to pull up. Heinicke knew it right away. 26-21, right? Nope. Pitchy, woo-woo. 32-21. Casey Duhill, recovery and touchdown. McLaurin ends up 8 for 128. 81 total plays for Washington, 49 rushing, 40-24 in time of possession, plus 2 in turnovers. The Eagles end up with more turnovers than they have had all year, 4-3. I have questions. Good for the Eagles to lose? Did this expose the Eagles? Will we ever see Carson Wentz again? Please no. Can we ban pitchy woo-woos for betting purposes? All of that in college basketball after the break. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download the Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app. It won't take you but a few seconds. Then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And then, bam, you're placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, that is. Call 1-800-522-4700. My buddy Tommy in D.C., Kelly, just texted me literally just now. Well, command was taken last night for sure, Gilly. It's just killing me with those.
They've earned it.
So, okay, here are the questions before we get to Matt Cox at college basketball. When they made the trade for Wentz, every Washington football fan of his or her, salt, whatever the expression is. It's not the expression, but I botched it. You know what I mean?
Worth their weight in salt?
Worth their weight in salt. Every one of us. Like, what are we doing? First of all, what are you trading for him to begin with? What are you trading a king's ransom for? And Heinicke's probably still better than them. We cannot have Carson Wentz back, right? This has to be Heinicke. Commander starting quarterback since 2018. Heinicke's 10-9. Alex Smith is 11-5. So if you put Heinicke and Alex Smith together, they're 21-14. The rest of the quarterbacks are 8-32.
Yikes.
Alex Smith unavailable. What are we doing? It's got to be Heinicke, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think so is the only answer, because who knows what they're thinking.
I mean, who knows with that, right? I mean, it does. Here's the problem. With Heinicke, it does feel like he is the...
They love him. Those players, I don't know what this is.
But
they
this
seem
is,
to play better with him.
This is where it's tough, though, Gil, right? Is he good enough to win you a Super Bowl?
No, but the other guy isn't either.
No, he's not. But
but he can get you the playoffs.
You can't compare him from A to B, right? Because you always got to be thinking about the future.
Oh, I'm not saying he's the guy. But Carson Wentz isn't the guy. Carson Wentz is your quarterback in the future?
No, absolutely not.
Stop
absolutely
it.
Not. My problem is that what I'm getting to is you're going to keep Heinicke around, and you're never going to be able to truly develop a young quarterback there because Heinicke's shadow is always going to be over.
So put Howell in? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying go there yet. I'm saying in the future, though, right?
I'm just saying, like, the quarterback of the future.
I mean, Carson Wentz is done. Like, that's
right.
Over.
So then what do we do? We're still trying. They're only one game out of a playoff spot. Only the Niners are keeping the entire NFC East out of a playoff spot.
It's insane.
Good for the Eagles to lose a game? Did that expose the Eagles? They got Jonathan Taylor and the Colts next week. You don't think the Colts are like, we're running as many times as humanly possible?
Yeah, but I think that's been known for a little bit here.
Okay.
I actually will be the guy who says, yeah, I think this L probably is good for the Eagles.
Is good for them. Yeah. Right. And then the pitchy woo-woo. Can I just say one thing about that before we go to college basketball? My buddy Jeff Hoos used to run the Aria Sportsbook here. And he used to always say this, and he now works over in Minnesota at FanDuel. But he believes there should be a rule. This is for bettors. And it's a very simple rule. When a lateral or fumble with 0-0-0 on the clock left is recovered, the play should be ruled dead. Just to protect gamblers. So if the ball is recovered after zero, it should just be dead, end of story, score remains the same.
I mean, the rules are already confusing enough about when you can and can't advance a fumble, because there's different times and stuff where you can and can't.
But the problem with the pitchy woo-woo, shout out to SVP on that, is that the offensive team just stops playing football, right? They've lost already. So how many of those result in defensive touchdowns? 1 in 3, it seems like? Like, it seems like it happens more often now than ever before.
It is probably somewhere in the 20 to 30%.
In-game overs went to die on that one last night,
yeah,
among
tough.
Other things.
The one other thing I want to bring up quick is one of these trendy bets that we've seen come up this season has been those Eagles first half bets. That was one I almost bet the Commanders on last night just because these numbers are getting out of whack. It was 7 on the first half line last night.
That's why I bet it in game. I was like, well, they're playing. Yeah. I'm betting it.
You know, 11 full game. I'm just, you know, these past two games, obviously the Eagles haven't gotten there in the first half. I just think it's something to just keep an eye on how the books are hanging numbers on those going forward.
Let's talk some college basketball from Three Man Weave. It's Matt Cox, everybody, at 3MW_CBB for all of Three Man Weave's picks. How you doing, Maddie? You good?
Gil, I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. So I guess you didn't even know there was a football game last night, right? You're so immersed in college basketball. Is that true?
I do a little bit of NFL support research behind the scenes, but no, for the most part, once college basketball kicks off, everything else kind of goes to the back burner and I get lost in my own hoop cocoon.
Hoop cocoon. Let me ask you about the hoop cocoon last night. There was a few upsets of note. And again, it's early season, so who knows how this will play out later in the season. We may look back on it and be like, oh, well, they weren't any good anyway. But Maine beat Boston College. Northwestern State beat TCU as a huge dog. Also, Florida went down. Like, which one of those three was the one that was the most eye-opening for you?
Florida. I think some people who follow us know I'm extremely biased toward Todd Golden and the staff that basically started from San Francisco, now have made their way to Gainesville, sort of kicking off this, rejuvenation of a program that's kind of flatlined under Mike White. I thought they'd be awesome this year, and it's early. They had a key injury. I think one of their sharpshooters, Will Richard, went down late in the second half. But still, FAU, to win in Gainesville, that was the most surprising. I knew BC was terrible. They are terrible. They're one of multiple ACC teams that look like mid-major caliber to start the year. Pitt, maybe. Louisville, my goodness, that's a whole other segment we could have in a separate time. But yeah, the Florida loss was perplexing. That's a team I still believe in.
By the way, Pepperdine lost a basketball game. I didn't know that was possible, but apparently they're not going to go undefeated this year, Matt. Just point that out.
Well, do people know that behind the scenes we're endorsing them for maybe the best team in the country? I don't think we should reveal that publicly.
Go, Matt. That's right.
And the yes-no prop bet of Will and Gil bring up Pepperdine cashes.
Yes.
Yep, I took it myself, so I'll be cashed.
Stevie, I'm going to try to get through one college basketball segment without bringing them up this year. All right, there's a big doubleheader, of course, headliner tonight. Kentucky-Michigan State followed by Duke and Kansas. You have any thoughts on either of these two tonight?
No profound thoughts in the Kentucky-Michigan State game. I think a lot of people may have watched the Carrier showdown with Sparty versus Gonzaga and probably came away impressed with Michigan State. I think that's a fair conclusion. But there are some warts, I think, beneath the surface with this roster. It's sort of a recent Tom Izzo roster. It's not quite as talented as you maybe have saw 3, 4, 5 years ago. Got a stellar recruiting class coming in next year. This feels like an awkward sandwich season. But still, nonetheless, very good effort against Gonzaga, and I think you have to respect them there, especially catching 6 against such a young Kentucky team. No action in this one, though. I do have action in the Duke-Kansas game. I love the Devils, and I know I'm biased as I have my Duke pennant adorned behind me here, but I think they should be favored in this one. John Shire, with all due respect to my King Coach K, I think he is a very substantial coaching upgrade. The talent is very real. Kansas without Bill Self tonight, for as much as that might be overplayed, I do think that matters. I like Duke here. I think anything up to like -1, -2, I'd lay it.
Before we get to some of your other picks tonight, let me just seize on that Shire versus Coach K take, because we have over the years on this show and other shows too, we're certainly not unique in this. We've talked extensively about how Coach K, for all the loving and adoration that he has received, probably not the best in-game coach we've ever seen in our lives. Let's put it mildly like that. So if that is, in fact, a huge upgrade, the talent is still going to remain relatively the same. Maybe you think this outfit is better than previous Duke iterations talent-wise also. That's going to be tough with some of the great stars that have come and gone at Duke and even recently. But maybe so. Like, how do you feel that manifests over the course of time? Is that good for a win or two? Like, how do you view that?
Yeah, over the course of the year, it's tough to, if you had to break it down into how many wins Shire equates to, or from a betting perspective, how many points, you know, what's his net incremental point advantage over Coach K? I mean, is it a half point? It sounds like a lot on a per game basis, but I do think there's something there. Coach K was actually, I think, a very good tactical coach up until like the last five-ish seasons, where you started to kind of see a little too much of like the rah-rah culture coaching and not enough of the X and O clipboard coaching. You look at the Zion Williamson team. I mean, I think people look back at that as, we'll say, you know, what a catastrophe in terms of maximizing talent potential, a team that bowed out early in the NCAA tournament to Michigan State. I just think Shire's a better schematic, you know, divisor. You just watch him when he played in college ball, really smart player. I think he's got good instincts with that. And he was the top recruiter for Coach K all these, like the last 5, 6, 7 years. So he kind of has the perfect fusion of talent magnet and knows how to coach and develop. So yeah, I think Duke's a scary blue blood going forward.
All right, I'm gonna go back further than 5 years. I could tell my Lehigh story, but we'll leave it at that. That it wasn't a good
stretch. I might go 10 years. We'll go 10 years.
10 years works for me. Okay, we have 60 seconds. Not even 45. Give us your picks. What do you got?
So I got Duke as my biggest of the nine. I'm also looking right in your neck of the woods, UNLV. I think the running Rebs are a live dog tonight. Pretty short number. I think it's been bouncing up and down between 4 and 5. Playing a young Dayton team, their first road game, who are going to be without their starting point guard in Mally Smith. They had a couple other guys step up, but generally it's a Dayton team that's young. They're banged up. First road trip in a year, which, by the way, home court kind of making a comeback this year in college basketball. We're starting to see, I think we've seen that in other sports as well. I like the Rebs tonight in a pretty feisty defensive effort, low scoring. Take the points here at home with the Rebs.
Little sprinkle on the money line or just the points?
I guess I'd take, what's the number there at Moneyline? 150?
170, Michelle. 170.
170? Yeah, I'd take 170. Yeah.
All right. So Duke, UNLV, is there a third or no?
Yeah, how about LMU, the Lions, real quick at the buzzer, Gil?
Okay.
Catching UC Irvine off a big win at Oregon. So, yeah, take the LA Lions.
All right.
+5.
There you go. Matt Cox, three-man weave, at 3MW_CBB, at Matty_Cox, if you want to go directly to any of Matt's pithy thoughts. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Coming back, Jake Hahn on hockey next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball has started. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide at over 400 pages. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts includes Greg Hoops Peterson. Man's got a nickname about college basketball. Matt Eumanns, Jonathan Montoble, Wes Reynolds. They provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, a breakdown of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I only want to read a couple of these, but I am touched by this one. This is from Tim Lawson, who does the Better Life podcast. For those of you who've watched the Numbers Game for years and years, I used to wear this T-shirt, which was a tribute to the old Charles Barkley quote, which was, you know, idiots who believe in analytics shirt. He is his last day to pre-order. He's got them idiots who believe in analytics shirts before the restock. He's at The Better Life, BETTOR, The Better Life. $3 of every sale will benefit the American Friends of Magen David Adom, which he attributes as charity supported by my late father. So I just want to thank him. I have nothing to do with that. He's just tributing my father. So I want to say thank you to Tim Lawson. And if you're interested, go to The Better Life.
That's incredible.
For those T-shirts.
Thanks, Tim.
This is from the Chili Gambler. Hey, Gil, just wanted to thank you and Jason Weingarten for the Michael Harris 80-1 ticket. He mentioned it on your show, and I bet it immediately. Strider made a sweat, but boy, was it a good night last night for a lot of people. Chris Velika cashed big on that. Michael Harris, Jason Weingarten did. By the way, the two most uninspiring hours of television you could ever watch on MLB Network. It's like just milk it. 1 hour for Julio Rodriguez, then another hour for Michael Harris.
2 hours on that?
Bruh.
Are you serious?
And they telegraph the pass with the person presenting, right? So David Justice, yes, both Strider and Harris play for the Braves, but Harris is the offensive player. So you knew it was going to be Harris. Plus Strider's like interview was canned. And for MVP, guess who's giving away the American League? Giancarlo Stanton will be announcing the AL MVP winner.
I wonder who's winning.
It's just every one of them is ridiculous. By the way, who's giving away the National League? Albert Pujols. Who's his teammate? I don't know. Paul Goldschmidt, maybe?
I forgot we were reading into this last year, too.
It's so dumb.
It's so obvious. And just give me my money already.
They're like live television, everybody. By the way, one last thing about my dad here, just because this jogged memory, and this is probably in poor taste, but I just want to say this. The most awkward moment of that game last night, Troy Aikman's mother passed away. That exchange between Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, I was like, Troy doesn't really seem all that broken up about it. Just move on from this. It was really awkward to me, I thought. Did you catch that in the middle of the game?
No, I didn't. Ron Rivera's?
Ron Rivera's mom passed away, and he got choked up in the postgame
locker
room. He couldn't even speak. And Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin, had to give the speech in the locker room.
See, that I caught.
Yeah.
So that's really bizarre.
Anyway, I was noting that last night that it was a little awkward exchange. It was just an interesting point of the game. Let us talk some hockey. This gentleman strolled on the show last week, rolled up in here, gave us a 5-0 in hockey. Guess what? He's got 6 picks today. It's Jay Kahn, everybody, from the Point, co-host of the Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, guys. I guess there's nowhere to go but down here, but we'll try to keep this thing on the rails. We'll try to throw out some more winners, but it's always great to be back on with you guys. I love the banter coming in. You guys always crack me up as well.
I was pressuring Jake yesterday. I'm like, yeah, went 5-0 last week. Got a lot of tweets about it, Jake.
A lot of tweets, Jake.
Like you said, nowhere to go but down.
First red flag, Jake is wearing a hat again. He wasn't last week.
That's right.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to test this out. If I do bad with the hat on, then we know exactly why I did well last week.
We do. Before we get to your 6 picks, I know I started with this last week, so I don't want to repeat the same, but yeah, I do find it interesting. The Bruins are 14-2, the Devils are 12-3, and the Vegas Golden Knights are 13-3. I actually went down a rabbit hole last night looking at the best 20 game starts in NHL history, and I know they're not quite at 20 yet, so this could fall off, you know, a cliff here this week. But in that research, were there better 20 game starts? Yes. Were there ever 3 of these in one season, though? And the answer is no. Starting to raise an eyebrow for you a little bit, or not quite yet?
Definitely. I think for a lot of these teams, too, there were question marks coming into the season. Boston had so many injuries to key players. A lot of people were projecting them to get out to a slow start. It's been the complete opposite. New Jersey, it was just a disaster for them to try to get a save last year. We knew there was some talent on the roster, but could it all come together? So they had major question marks. And Vegas missed the playoffs last year with a team that was loaded with talent but had injuries as well. So I don't think anybody really expected this from any of these teams, these kind of starts. And Gil, to take it further with the Boston record, most of those 14 wins that they have already are by multiple goals.
Yeah.
So if you're betting the Bruins, they're winning by 2-3, even more goals some night. So basically, if you're taking the Bruins right now, you can just throw the money line out the window. You might as well play the puck line because they're just going out there and winning hockey games.
All right. Well, let's get to, by the way, is there an equivalent bad team? Like one of the other things we sort of do, Kelly and I are pretty open about, hockey is not our number one or two or three sport to bet. But the one thing that we did notice with Matt Brown on Primetime Action all those years is, all right, when there's this massive line, you know, is there a point, like if a score is scoreless after the first period, you and I have talked about this before, is there a team that is so bad this year that they are just going to get picked on mercilessly, and might it avail ourselves of some opportunities, if not pre-flop in-game?
Well, we thought it was going to be Arizona and Chicago coming into the year, and it still might be those teams, but they've actually been quite pesky. And, yeah. and Arizona's got this goaltender, Vimelka, that continues to steal games from time to time. Chicago has actually worked quite hard, and Philly was another team we thought would be in that conversation, but they've been quite good under John Tortorella. So I think the surprise team now and a team to maybe watch out for in that light is the Columbus Blue Jackets. They signed Johnny Gaudreau in the offseason, the big prize free agent. Now they've lost their best defenseman in Zach Werenski. They just lost Patrick Laine up front as well. They had a bunch of injuries, and they just do not look good on a nightly basis. So maybe Columbus will be that team that we weren't really expecting to be the team that we pick on this year.
All right. Jake Hahn, by the way, at Jay Hahn, H-A-H-N, 4, the number 4 on Twitter, Jay Hahn 4. 6 picks. Let's get to them. What do you like first?
Yeah, let's start with a game that we actually just saw on Friday, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're going to host the Toronto Maple Leafs. I actually just caught this game on Friday. It was a close game. It could have gone to either team. Pittsburgh ultimately stepped up in the third period, won that game in Toronto. Now we get the rematch back in Pittsburgh. I think that this is the game that the Pens win. You know, the Leafs looked okay on the weekend. I was actually at the Saturday game where they beat the Vancouver Canucks. They got off to a slow start. I just think Pittsburgh hovering around NHL 500 right now, they need this game. They're on home ice. I think it's a fair price for the Pens. If you want, I think you can look to the under here as well, Gil. The Leafs and the Pens don't mind to play under type games.
All right. You're also taking an early game here on the Buffalo Sabres, taking on the Canucks.
Yeah, another line I think is a little bit mispriced, and I think we're getting a bit of a dip on the Sabres because they are on a 5-game losing streak right now. But when you look at the teams that they've lost to, cream of the crop in the NHL, some of the teams we just talked about with those great records. So I'm going to give the Sabres a pass for that. It was a difficult part of the schedule. I still believe in this roster. I have some questions in between the pipes, but Vancouver just looks like a complete disaster right now. I saw them live here in Toronto on Saturday. They've got issues. They really do in all facets of the game. And I think at basically a pick 'em price, the Sabres at home are a good bet.
All right. We just brought up the Blue Jackets as a possible fade moving forward. You're fading them tonight.
Yeah, another game that we just saw last week. And again, it was in Columbus. Columbus got off to a good start in that game. The Flyers pushed back and were really all over them in the third period. So this bet is really incumbent on the starting goaltenders. This is a bet on goaltending, and Columbus just doesn't have that right now. They're out their top blue liner in Zach Werenski for what looks like the rest of the season now. Good for the Philadelphia Flyers. Great bounce back season for him. So assuming he starts, we don't have confirmation on that just yet, but I do think he will get the call. I like the Flyers to go into Columbus and win this game.
All right. So those are the three sides, Penguins, Sabres, and Flyers. Those are the three sides tonight. One total and two prop bets. Kelly, we have SOG bets coming. You love SOGs.
Nothing says NHL betting is back like SOGs, baby.
He loves SOGs, Jake. All right.
What do you guys?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I know you guys love the SOGs from my playoff appearances last year. It was a lot of fun. You don't have as much to pick from then, right? You got to get into the prop market and things like that. The total I do like is the under in the Dallas-Tampa game. Now, it's come down a little bit. I think with confirmation on the goaltenders, it'll come down even more if we get Jake Oettinger versus Vasilevsky in this game. You know, Vasilevsky's numbers are not good. They're not un-Vasilevsky-like this year. He's actually got a save percentage under 900 right now. I still believe in him. I still believe in him, especially on home ice. And I think they'll play a tighter, lower-scoring game between Tampa and Dallas. One of my favorite SOG props comes from this game as well. It's Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars. This guy is just shooting the puck like it's going out of style right now. You can get over 3.5 at plus money for him. And Tage Thompson is the other one in the Sabres game. Another guy that's been shooting the puck a ton. He's hit over 3.5 in 7 of his last 10 games. He's had multiple games where he's had 8 shots, 9 shots. So he can have those heavy shot type games. I like Tage Thompson. And if you're also looking for another game to target in the shot prop market, I would look to the Florida Panthers. You could basically bet anybody on that team because they're most likely to get 40 to 45 shots tonight.
Kelly, it's Clay Thompson, it's his brothers, Trace Thompson, and Tage Thompson
and
as
Tage.
Well. All three of them. Different sports.
What a name.
I'm joking. It's not true.
What a family.
All right. Three sides, one total, two prop bets. We'll have them all in the newsletter. Yes? VSiN.com/newsletter. Jake? I mean, no pressure or anything, but it was 5-0 last week. We'll see how we do.
We'll see if I can make it back on the show next week. Hopefully it goes well. Thanks, guys.
Jake Hahn, everybody, right here on a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We'll talk NFL power rankings and a little Aaron Judge prop next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. And if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level. Whole nother level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Los Vegas 514. Kelly said, yo, a flyer on the Commanders to win the NFC East for you and young Kelly?
No, nah, I'm good.
No, I'm good. Because there's still four games behind the Eagles. No, I don't know.
Now, if you could find a matchup bet of, like, who finishes with a better record, the Commanders or the Giants, maybe I'd be interested.
Ooh, now that I would love to bet.
Might be interested in that.
That I would love to bet. By the way, Coach of the Year becomes a very interesting conversation after last night. There you go.
Yes, it does, Mr. Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell becomes that much more in play.
Although Sirianni barely moved. I was looking at this morning.
I would argue that, by the way, and for those who are listening, you're like, what do you mean? He just lost one game. Well, I guess what all I'm saying is, when you're undefeated, you sort of auto-win things.
Yes.
So now that you're not, it's sort of a broader discussion.
Okay, completely agree.
Yeah.
So he, and I don't know, I guess I don't know where he was at yesterday, to be fair. I don't know where he was at, but I would assume minus 125, minus 140, right? Isn't that the range he's been in the past, like, week or two?
Yeah.
Even money at DraftKings right now.
I still contend Pete Carroll by the number is the best bet on the board. Like, still in double digits.
Don't you, like, based off of what you're saying, and I agree with it, don't you feel like that fall should have been further for Sirianni?
For me, yes.
Because I think you're right. Once now that there's not an undefeated team left, this conversation becomes much more broad.
Well, and also because the expectations for the Eagles were quite good before the season started.
Right.
The difference in Minnesota is, I think a lot of people think, is just from Zimmer to O'Connell. That's why the coin, that's why the Plinko coin is ending up in the right slot. For me, it's Carroll because there were zero expectations on the Seahawks and they're leading the division, which was supposed to be the toughest division in the NFC anyway. And then, you know, go from there. Who else might you consider? Daboll is the other guy, right? Because he falls into the Pete Carroll category of there was no expectations. I just fear that the Giants are going to lose a lot of football games between now and the end of the season.
For me, if it was, you know, you're talking about truly who's the NFL Coach of the Year, it doesn't look like MGM has these reposted yet, so I'll use DraftKings odds. If you're really asking me who the Coach of the Year is, I think it is Daboll or Pete Carroll, right? Of who I actually think,
for me, it's Pete Carroll,
has been made the most significant impact on their team from a coaching standpoint, right?
Yeah.
But when you talk the odds, right, Daboll, like, he's 6-1 right now with a Giants team that's, what, 7-2? Is that what their record
seven
is?
7-2.
7-2. 7-2. That I think we all expect they are going to take a step back at some point,
yeah,
right?
Even that game against the Texans, we talked about on Guessing Lines yesterday. The Texans just kept knocking at the door. And the Giants did Giants 2022 things where they bend and no break.
Having said all this, I did just put a bet in before the show on the Giants -3. But but like Daboll, I feel like he should be shorter now if we kind of all expect he's going to take a step back or two, right? So
we also didn't mention Saleh, by the way, who deserves some consideration.
He's up there too. I don't know. I feel like these odds are a little out of whack with some of these guys right now. And I think you're right. I think a Pete Carroll is completely live. 11-1. He's up at DraftKings. DraftKings right now, it's Sirianni even money. Kevin O'Connell 4-1. Daboll +600. Mike McDaniel +750. Saleh +800. Pete Carroll 11-1. And then a big drop after that. Look, I think Pete Carroll is absolutely still live.
The expectations have to matter.
They have
to. And so
the
Giants and the Seahawks, they're in their own category. The Jets too, right? Those three teams are different from the Eagles, the Vikings, the Dolphins, etc. I think, but what, you know, I'd be one vote. Who knows what these voters are thinking? Sean Gusick also I'm sorry. What's that again? What are you gonna say?
I'll make a boldish statement. On
okay.
This, sort of.
Be brave.
This is Kevin O'Connell's award to lose at okay. this point. After last night, this is his award to lose.
I don't hate that. Sean Gusick, did you happen to see the Tampa Bay Seattle game when Geno Smith slid and the refs threw a flag as they thought he got hit in the head? The refs got together and the TV camera caught a ref looking up at the big screen during the huddle and said, "No flag on the play. Refs using replay that way." Shaking my head. I'll be honest with you, I was on a flight back from Chicago. I did not see that.
Yeah, I don't specifically remember that play, yeah. but I feel like it was one of those, maybe he got hit in the shoulder or something like that. And yes, I understand what they're talking about with maybe looking up at the replay, but that also could be another ref running in and saying something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Guy in cornfields, what college dormitory is Matty Cox broadcasting from? With his penance behind him as well. In case you missed this also, we'll get to the Aaron Judge prop.
How great would that be, though? Matt was like just an RA for like 10 years.
Just an RA.
He's back in Missouri as an RA, just betting nonstop.
I haven't heard RA in a long time. Was that resident assistant? Is that
resident
what that means?
Resident advisor?
I think it's assistant. Yeah. Advisor. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
There's RD and then there's RA. It's the whole thing. In case you missed this last night, former Major League Baseball player Yasiel Puig. You remember Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
Is agreed to plead guilty to a federal charge for lying to law enforcement officials about sports bets he made with an illegal gambling operator. That according to documents unsealed Monday by the U.S. Department of Justice. According to his plea agreement, filed on August 29th, Puig, who played for the Dodgers, Reds, and Cleveland during a seven-year MLB career from 2013 to 2019, began placing bets on sporting events in May 2019 through a third party who worked for an illegal gambling operation run by Wayne Nix, a former minor league baseball player. By June 2019, a month later, Puig was down $282,900 to Nix's gambling business after paying off $200,000 of his losses and regaining access to his Nix-controlled betting websites. Puig placed 899 additional bets on tennis, football, and basketball games from July 4th, 2019 to September 29th, 2019.
Yasiel Puig, big tennis better.
My reaction was just under 899 bets, that's all. So it's not really, that detail didn't really surprise me. The DOJ release did not reference any bets that were made on baseball. Well, so that's one key.
That's the biggest point.
As long as they're not on baseball, then he's cleared of a whole bunch of mess. But yeah. the real story here is the lying.
Sure.
That's the issue.
Sure, but like, okay, can we clean up the legal jargon? The legal jargon's in the way. Okay,
Kelly Bidlin, who attended many a law school, please, you have the floor.
No, and I need your help with the clarification here. This is Yasiel Puig placing bets through a bookie of some kind, who is in operations with cahoots with a bigger operation.
I believe the DOJ used the word cahoots.
They used the word cahoots.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
With a bigger operation.
Yeah.
And that's what they zeroed in on. That's why they asked Puig about.
Correct.
And he lied about betting with the bookie.
That's right.
So he bets with the bookie and he's not betting on baseball.
Why do I really care? That, by the way, you did a great job. That's pretty much it. So from our little corner of the world, let's be honest, we're not in any way outraged by his participation. Let's just be honest. We're an honest show.
Yes.
But the lying makes sense. You can't lie to the DOJ.
Yeah, this just in. Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't about him. It was about the bigger operation.
You're right. Let me twist it to my Sesame Street moment for the speech for the kids out there.
Yeah.
Don't lie to police officers.
And certainly don't with the DOJ.
There you go. And certainly don't with the DOJ.
I suppose we're also saying don't do it with illegal bookmakers either, but you know how that goes.
Right.
Yeah. Where will Aaron Judge play next? DraftKings has this prop up. The Yankees, of course, the club that he's played for all these years, is the favorite. The Yankees are the favorite, minus 165. The Giants, where he grew up a Giants fan, his wife is from Northern California. They're 3-1 as the second most likely destination. The Dodgers, because they have all the money in the world, are at plus 450. The crosstown Mets from the Yankees are 10-1, and everybody else is beyond that. Let me just say this real quick. Everybody else beyond that, forget about. I'd also forget about the Mets. I don't think he has a disdain for the Yankees franchise where he would try to stick it to them. to me, it really is properly priced. And if I were to make a bet, if we did have DraftKings available, I would bet the Giants at 3-1.
Wait, I'm sorry, but did I miss here before? Do you think the Red Sox are still alive?
I don't.
Oh, okay, okay. So everybody below the Dodgers. You think it could be those top three?
I think those top three are in play. I think those are the only realistic destinations. I think the Yankees are a proper favorite. But I do, if I were to make a bet, I would take the 3-1 on the Giants. There's a pull of home in his wife's home. I mean, I'd like to play. If I was picking a football team to play for, I'd be like, I can play for the Washington football team. I'd love to play for them. You know,
it would just be so cool to see some of these big time players, you know, get off of some of these the massive couple teams in Major League Baseball.
We can't bet it. We wish we could, but we're in old Nevada. You know how that goes. NFL power rankings and college football guessing lines with Kelly next.